This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Hey, everybody. Todd here on the afternoon after the election. We normally start off the show with the theme music and then the tagline of, it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It's still fun to be from Wisconsin. I'm not sure today is a great day to be a Wisconsinite after the results of last night's election. Look, Donald Trump won. Let's put that out there right away. And up front, Vice President Harris is expected to have a concession speech later this afternoon. I want to go back to while we ended the show yesterday. And that was a story of my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, who grew up on a dairy farm, a small farm, in southwest Wisconsin. My great-grandfather did not believe that women should have an education beyond the eighth grade. She ended up leaving home and eventually became the dean, first woman to be a dean of a UW system school. It's an inspiring story and one that's stuck with me. She accomplished a lot. And here's one thing I know, because she was full-blooded bohemian. Many of you might not know that word. Today we'd say Czechoslovakian or Slovakian. But it used to be called bohemian. And the stereotype fit her well. She was a woman who was stubborn, who was tough, and who was loud. Back when she first helped start the University of Wisconsin-Richland, women were not only not allowed to be on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, they weren't even allowed to be in the meetings. She was president of the Richland County Teachers College at the time. And to get that college built in Richland Center, she would drive down and go to the meetings of the Board of Regents here on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus and stand in the hallway. And she would look at the men guarding the door to the Board of Regents meeting, and she would say in her loud bohemian voice, "I have got to get into that meeting." Eventually, one of the Board of Regents members would say, "Is that Marge Wallace out in the hall?" And one of the guys guarding the door would say, "Yep." And they would relent and say, "Well, let her in." Marge Wallace didn't get a university built by being diplomatic all the time, and certainly not by giving up. She passed away a little over 6 years ago at the age of 96. I'm pretty confident in saying, as happy as she would have been to see Kamala Harris elected the first president of the United States, a woman, to do so, this morning, while she would be disappointed, she would look right at my face, right in my eyes, and say, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" And that is why we're going to continue. Jimmy Valvano, the great basketball coach who eventually died of cancer and started the Jimmy V Foundation in his most famous speech ever, ended it with the words, "Never give up. Never, ever give up." I have two people in my life who are fighting stage three, either cancer or illness. You think they get up every day and cry for themselves and sit around giving up? They're still going, because they have the energy and the passion to do so. We're going to take time today to talk about this election. And it's appropriate to have grief and anger, and that's fine. But by God, we are never giving up. We are never, ever giving up.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. We are in our election night headquarters as a night has turned in today atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zommers, it was a late night again, thanks to you. our entire crew. I've got Corey Hartman, our chief engineer here in the studio in our Election Night headquarters studio. Corey, correct me if I'm wrong. We've got you. We've got Chris Casper. We've got Drew. We've got Chris Dunham, who did our set design from Edgewood College. Chris Giese, who helped with our video and set design. Who in the engineering department am I missing? Pardon? Aaron Bernstein, pardon me, Aaron. I was operating on 2 hours of sleep. Kreitler didn't have enough coffee for me this morning. And not just them, but all of our traffic people, all of our accounting people, all of our human resource people, all the folks that you never get to hear on the microphone or you get to see in the streaming, all those folks, they made our election night coverage possible last night. And, of course, our great owner and CEO, Sage Weil. I want to start off this show by dedicating today to them, by saying thank you, because although the election results were not all that I had hoped it would be, I thought we had a great show, if I do say so myself, and the least of which was because of me. Pat Kreitler was an outstanding co-host last night. Really appreciate him, along with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach and Maggie Dawn and Dom Selvia and Earl Ingram. It was a team effort. Luke Mathers also, Jamie Martinson. Everybody involved in this team really made it possible, and I just want to say thank you to them, and Mr. Zomers, thank you to you as well.
And thank you to you. You also did an outstanding job, and I agree. I want to thank everybody at Civic Media, and thanks to our listeners for listening in, for texting in, for being there for moral support a little bit last night. One of our listeners actually sent in some pizza for us. It was very appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cam. And it's, like you said, you know, it's a tough day, but with the support of each other, we have a great team here, and the support of the listeners, we're here to support you too.
Absolutely. And we are going to have a special guest with us coming up a little bit later this hour, Tyler Katzenberger, great journalist who has written locally here for publications like the Daily Cardinal, has gone on to great things with Politico. Yes, that Politico publication. He is going to be here at the bottom of the hour. He wrote a great article not so long ago looking at rural voters in Wisconsin. Tyler is going to be here and kind of take what he learned in that article with a couple of specific assembly races, apply it to the results last night. And I think today, quite frankly, is a day for myself, a little self-examination, but all of us to say, okay, looking at the results last night, what did some of us miss? What did some of us not hear going into this? And as we move forward, I believe that now, perhaps more than ever before, Civic Media and its mission of community-driven media, community-driven dialogue, conversation, understanding, fact-based, truthful information is going to be more important than ever before. Never been prouder to work for a company in my life than I am this morning for Civic Media, what it stands for, and its mission, and never more proud to have each and every one of you as a listener, as a viewer, as a texter. And we're going to work through a lot of this today. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who normally joins us on a Wednesday, as well as Mr. Pat Kreitler, host of Up North News Radio. Guess what? We decided to give him a day off. I was up early with Patrick on Up North News Radio with some special coverage this morning after about 2 hours of sleep. Look, I'm probably one of thousands, only got a couple of hours sleep last night, so I'm nothing special. But Pat's got a long drive back to Lake Wissota, so we said, Patrick, get on the road. Hope he is driving safely. We will talk to him next Wednesday for sure, if not before. And Trigvi Olson, who was with us all day yesterday and into the early morning hours last night, he, of course, is involved in meetings, lots of post mortem this morning out in D.C. So he might join us if those meetings get done, but both of those gentlemen will join us next Wednesday as per usual. I want to start off the show in terms of involving you all, our listeners, our viewers. Give us a call. Open line, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. CIVIC. Give us a call if you have thoughts. Look, as I said at the top of the show, it is absolutely normal to have feelings of anger, of frustration, of sadness, of fear. That's all real. And if you're tuning into the show for some magic answer about what happened last night, or my goodness, what's going to happen next, I'll be really honest with you. I don't have that answer. I'm just like you. I'm a little baffled. Well, more than a little baffled, actually. Because here's the deal. And Travey and I just, you know, went on this tour around the state of Wisconsin. What makes Wisconsin great tour? There are so many great people in the state of Wisconsin. So many small businesses and you know, amateur and high school and college and professional sports organizations and bakeries and restaurants. And the list goes on and on. And we wake up this morning and all of those things, you know, for the most part, are still there. Those things haven't changed. I want to share this with you. A friend sent me this today. I think it's so good. This is from Venice R. Williams. She is the executive director of Milwaukee's Alice's Garden. She brings joy, beauty, nourishment to so many across the community. Alice R. Williams. Here is what she wrote this morning. I want to share this with you. Quote, "You are awakening to the same country you fell asleep to. The very same country. Pull yourself together. And when you see me, do not ask me, what do we do now? How do we get through the next 4 years? Some of my ancestors dealt with at least 400 years of this under worse conditions. Continue to do the good work. Continue to build bridges, not walls. Continue to lead with compassion. Continue the demanding work of liberation for all. Continue to dismantle broken systems, large and small. Continue to set the best example for the children. Continue to be a vessel of nourishing joy. Continue right where you are. Right where you live into your days. Do so in the name of the Creator who expects nothing less from us each day. And if you are not continuing all of the above in community, partnership, collaboration, what is it you have been doing? What is it you are waiting for?" Unquote. The words of Venice R. Williams. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Tom in Sauk City on the line. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
I'm doing something subversive right now.
What's that?
Listening to the Todd Alba show. And I'm going to keep on listening to Civic Media until the all-new Federal Communications Commission revokes your license to operate.
Well, we hope that doesn't happen. But we got to keep going, right? We have to keep going.
I'm taking some action to inoculate myself from the fashion fever pandemic. Can I share?
Please, you have 1 minute.
Okay.
Is that enough time, or you can come back after the break?
No, we have 30 seconds, so we'll have to do it after
the break. All
right,
Tom, hang on, Tom. We're going to come back. We'll hear it from Tom in Sauk City. If you'd like to join the postmortem the day after, the morning after, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Do not give up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Alba Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Get along down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try.
A little Kenny Chesney for you on the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, the 6th of November. Kenny is so right. We have a long, long way to go, but somehow, some way, we have to find ways, search for ways to get along. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Go back to the phone lines. Tom in Sauk City. Tom, thanks for holding through the break. You said you had a plan. You have something you want to continue to do, even despite the election results that you may or may not have agreed with.
I'm trying to lean into the fun side of seeking the truth and maybe just a little irreverence.
So very good.
First, I replaced my Harris yard sign with a Trump sign, which I will never take down because gloating is for winners. Then I posted on my social medias This patriot voted for mein Führer Donald Jesus Trump last night and then was killed by a demonic Democrat driver on the way home.
Okay.
Now, my new social media pages feature a photo of my check to the Trump campaign for $2,025. 2025, get it?
Yeah, I get it. Project 2025. Yeah, nice.
Not going to mail the check, though, because it's the thought that counts. Then I resigned from my church because it's not Christian enough. Mm. It won't be around for much longer anyway. Mm. And then I joined the Catholic Church, hedging my bet that J.D. Vance will be president in 3 years or as soon as the enemies get dispatched. FedEx is overnighting a pair of Make America White Again caps because there's no need for subtlety anymore.
No need for subtlety. Okay.
And I ordered a his and her pair of automatic rifles that should be delivered in time for our Christmas card photo. Now, I'm reading a great website, 10 Best Countries for American Expats, and I'm looking for more ideas. So thanks if you have any.
I appreciate that, Tom. Look, I get the point, right? If you can't take a joke, right? I get it. And you know what? I don't think it's unhealthy to laugh a little bit today. We all have ways of dealing with this. I mean, I opened the show on a serious note, and you know that's why I wanted to open it. But you're right. I mean, some people deal with things by crying, some by laughing, some by just getting outside. Whatever it is that you all have to do today, you know, besides something that's addictive or hurtful or harmful, self-harmful, or besides those things, deal with it, right? Deal with it in a healthy manner. Laugh, cry, jog, go work out, go for a walk, get outside. We have to get this out of our these emotions out of our system, right? So that we can move forward together. 855-752-4842. Matt Middleton on the line. Matt, thanks for calling in on WMDX. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Two thoughts on this. One is I'm not surprised because I think Americans have been through a lot even since the 2000s, all the trauma of all these natural disasters, the homelessness, the job losses since 2008 that I still don't think we've come back from fully. Mm. And there's very little room in the human heart to care for others without hurting yourself. And I think that's what taught me.
Yeah.
That's why they're willing to have all this violent rhetoric and all these things, because there's a lot of hurt and there's room for people to care for others, apparently. And that's really sad. And the reason I'm a Democrat is, you know, there's never going to be enough jobs for everyone. Mm. And government has a role to play in making sure people aren't living under bridges, which is apparently what Elon Musk wants now. But
appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Matt. Kind of trailed off there. Maybe we lost the call. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was cutting out.
Yeah, I hope that our friend Luke Mathers won't mind me quoting him. I thought he had a really salient point this morning. And that is one of his takeaways from the election last night, where people are just angry. And they're ticked off. And whether it's justified or not, people are voting against whoever they feel they're ticked off at. And I thought that was a really important point. 855-752-4842. Joe in Mequon on the line. Joe, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, I find the rhetoric interesting that when you guys lose, it's all of a sudden we need to get along. And yet when Obama won, it was elections have consequences. And I don't think you guys are really realistically looking at the results of that election. Yes, they are the result of people being unhappy. And they're being unhappy with the direction of the country. Mm-hmm. And it was justified in my mind. And, you know, I think you guys, the left has gone radically left. They haven't been moderate at all. Mm-hmm. And I think people just finally said it's enough.
Well, I appreciate the call, Joe. I'll just mention, I wasn't on the air in 2008. So, I mean, we play that song, Get Along, regardless. I mean, I just think it's no matter if you win an election or lose an election, no matter which side you are on, I think the point of that song is, look, you know, we have to keep striving to find ways to work together. And I take your point at face value, Joe, and that is, you know, maybe this is opportunity for folks. And again, I don't belong to any political party anymore, but I think we have to say, you know, what did folks miss in why did people vote? vote for Trump in this election. And we're going to have our guest on at the bottom of the hour here to talk about it. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call. Very quickly, 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom out in Los Angeles. L.A. got about a minute and a half here. What say you?
All right, Todd. First, we the people ultimately are the government. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that the people chose a different direction. I would like to say, though, the right wing or the voters last night do not like people who speak about policy or intelligentsia. They don't want someone who is thoughtful or educated. They want someone who reacts or shoots from the hip and is an Al Bundy figure or a reality type WWF or UFC jughead. They like their straight white Anglo-Saxon Protestant men who is their bro and doesn't speak intelligently or academically, because you are the enemy, just like it was in the 30s when they went after the intelligentsia in that time period. They don't like smart women because they're scared of them also. Kamala Harris, Kristen Wiley were both incredible candidates, but America still wants Joe Dadbod to be the one who runs the country. We need a candidate again like a Bill Clinton, a white, straight, scoundrel, bubba type of person yeah. who is actually very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is great at saying the same thing every day. Even if the economy sucks, he will say every single day that it's the greatest economy ever.
Appreciate the call, Tom. Up against the clock. Thank you very much, L.A. Tom. Stay tuned. We're going to have Tyler Katzenberger right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to talk about rural voters. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for Wednesday.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are glad to have you along on this Wednesday, November 6, 2024, joined now by the great reporter Tyler Katzenberger of the great publication Politico. He is a University of Wisconsin Badger alum and has worked for great publications such as the Daily Cardinal on campus, the Capital Times here in Madison, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and got all the way out to California with Politico. Tyler Katzenberger, welcome back to the show. You get to California, and what happened?
They pulled me right back into Wisconsin. But yeah, thanks so much for having me.
No, it's a pleasure to have you. It's been a while since we've had you on the show back in the spring, and I really appreciate you coming on late notice this morning when I texted and asked you to come on. And talk for just a second, though. You're an alum here of Wisconsin, and you got out to California to do California politics, and then your editor said, hey, there's some interesting stuff going on back in your home state.
Yeah, so Politico, they have this project called The 50, which focuses on state governments and local governments. And they were trying to hit some different competitive legislative races. And they're like, you know, we don't really have time to get to Wisconsin. And so my California editors are like, hey, we have this kid that doesn't shut up about Wisconsin in our office. Why don't we send him? And so, yeah, they sent me out, and I was out there for about 5 days, traveled around the state, started up in Wausau, came down through Madison, out over to Grant County, and then went up to Eau Claire.
Yeah. If you have not read it, I encourage everyone to go to politico.com, and the headline of the story is, Have Democrats Found a Way to Win Over Rural America? Look at what's happening in Wisconsin. This was published. This was not just published. Yes. How long ago did you publish this story first?
So this was published in late October, if I remember right. I don't remember the exact day.
I believe that's correct. Yep.
And
October 27th.
We do. Yes. And the headline posed a question. Look at Wisconsin. We have an answer to that question. We looked at Wisconsin, and I don't really know if we have, if we can say the Democrats have found a way to win in rural Wisconsin.
Well, I think it's so interesting, and again, I certainly have my bent. The national election did not go the way that I had hoped it would go. Did not go the way I hoped it would go in the third congressional race, where Derek Van Orten, the Republican, got reelected and beat Rebecca Cook. Certainly didn't go the way I thought it would go or hoped it would go in the eighth, where Dr. Kristen Lierley, I thought, was as good a candidate on either side of the aisle as you're ever going to get. And Tony Weed, the Republican, beat her there. But let's zero in. I think we've talked about this before. I grew up in southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, a little town of 5,000 people. I worked for a legislator, Dale Schultz, who represented Western Wisconsin. Give us a couple of your big takeaways after spending time in these rural parts of Wisconsin and applying it to how Democrats run races.
Sure. I think rural Wisconsin is a lot more purple than people give it credit for in some spots. It still has shifted right over the last 10 to 15 years fairly dramatically. That doesn't mean, I think people get this conception that there are only Democrats in urban areas and only Republicans in rural areas, and that's not true. It gets especially complicated when you factor in smaller and mid-sized towns that don't neatly fit into that city, big city label. Mm-hmm. There's lots of debate even over what is rural. And so I think things are a lot more complicated than you would first imagine. But in terms of takeaways of how the political winds are sitting there. If you look at results from last night, those areas shifted right even further than they did, or compared to 2020 for Republicans, specifically for Donald Trump in the presidential. But you also saw a lot of the districts that Democrats were maybe hoping to reach for, like up in Wausau, over in Western Wisconsin, really not go their way.
Yeah. You also tweeted, you retweeted this story this morning. That's what really brought it to my attention and had me reach out to you. And you also tweeted, said, and for good measure, here's the New York Times comparing the 2020 presidential results to 2024 by county. Get this, folks. Every single rural county in Wisconsin shifted towards Trump except for Door County. That is astounding.
Yeah, it's like, I think if you, again, if you want an answer to whether or not Democrats are doing better in rural Wisconsin, that seems like a pretty clear one.
Yeah. Let's zero in on one race that one district that I'm pretty familiar with is the 51st Assembly District. For folks who don't know where that's at, it used to basically be, you know, along north side of it was along the Wisconsin River. Think of Spring Green, the birthplace of Frank Lloyd Wright, Taliesin, and then down to the the Illinois border in Dodgeville, Darlington, over to Monroe a little bit. With redistricting, that district became more Democratic because it went into Dane County, Western Dane County. Todd Novak is the incumbent there, was the mayor of Dodgeville, one of the biggest cities of the 51st, actually lost his race for mayor, has had some complications there, hasn't really done a lot in the legislature. He barely won. What was it, 500 votes, Tyler, when he was in a quote-unquote safe gerrymandered district? And then with this new district, a lot of folks thought, well, this is a shoe-in for the Democrats to flip it, and Todd Novak won re-election last night.
Yeah, I tried to focus on this in my story that Todd Novak isn't, like, in no way was a weak candidate. Yes, he lost the Dodgeville mayor's race, but Republicans do have a knack for having a good assembly ground game and picking good candidates. And Todd Novak, if you've noticed or looked at some of his policies, has trended a bit more moderate. I mean, he was somebody who supported an Iowa model for redistricting that was more nonpartisan. And he was able, it looks like, to adapt to his district and survive. I mean, this is, I think it was rated as a 54% Democratic district. This is something that Democrats really probably should have picked up, and they just didn't. And this is on top of some of the biggest shifts toward Trump, county-wise, happening in Western Wisconsin in these rural counties. Counties like Iowa County, Grant County, parts of which are included in that district. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw Democrats take something that they should have had, and they dropped it. I mean, and it seems like there was a clear difference in candidate quality here.
Let's before we move up to the other district, we're talking to Tyler Katzenberger, a great political reporter for Politico here, talking about his article called have Democrats found a way to win over rural America? Look at what's happening in Wisconsin. You can find it at politico.com right now. Help me out, Tyler. I don't have the district in front of me. I think it's up by Wausau or Eau Claire area up there. There was another competitive district you talked about there in this article.
Yes, I covered two other districts, one of which I looked at up in Eau Claire. So Jody Emerson, she's a Democratic incumbent. She used to have her district centered around Eau Claire, pretty solidly blue. But redistricting took out part of Eau Claire and replaced it with towns like Fall Creek, Augusta, over to the east, very red rural areas. And so she kind of had to step out of her comfort zone and go into these areas and try to pull in the vote she needed against a county supervisor, Michelle Skinner, to keep her seat. And she did do it. I want to say she won by around 3 points. I don't have the exact number on me. She did it. But the other district I had looked at was the 85th up in Wausau.
Yes.
And I know Democrats are pretty excited about Yiling Zhang, who is running in that district, especially since Wausau has a pretty prominent Hmong community. And Yiling Zhang was the executive chairman of the Hmong American Center in Wausau. And so I think he was seen by Democrats as a fairly strong candidate. He had a lot of energy around him, specifically from, like, I talked to Hmong elders in Wausau who were pretty excited about him. They were doing specific outreach events for Hmong voters, trying to activate that voter base. And it just, I mean, he came, the election wasn't in any way a complete blowout. And he came sort of close, but he didn't flip it. And that was one that just barely ticked. I think it was rated 51% GOP.
Yeah.
And so they just weren't able to pull that off. And so that's another one of those rural-ish districts. I'm sure there are people who are going to say Wausau is a city. I will have my qualms about what qualifies as rural any day. But one of those outstate districts where Democrats should have been a little bit more competitive, and they just – they weren't.
So what is it in your reporting, Tyler? What is it that – and this is not meant – you know, when I used to work in the legislature, we did something called blameless autopsies, which meant – let's not blame people, but let's look at the facts and be honest with ourselves about how we could do better moving forward. Without blaming anyone, just looking at facts, what is it that Democrats seem to be missing when, I mean, when you have every county in this state go more for a rural county, pardon me, rural county, go for more for Trump, with the exception of Dorr, something's being missed somewhere. What is it that's being missed in your opinion, your reporting?
That's the question of the hour. I do want to say I think there are plenty of answers out there. I think you can make arguments for lots of them, and we're not going to really know until somebody does a full autopsy, and even then we might not have a clear answer. But I do think Democrats ran big on abortion and advertising, and that didn't quite work out for them. I mean, they tried hitting Todd Novak on abortion, and it I mean, Novak is still reelected. Inflation didn't help. I mean, I'm speaking as someone who's from Marshfield, Wisconsin, which is in central Wisconsin, a 45-minute drive from Wausau if you like to speed, maybe an hour if you're a bit of a cautious driver. But I think for people, even when you have some, like Joe Biden touting, you know, a big economic agenda, Democrats talking about funding childcare, funding healthcare, when you step into that voter booth, you know, you probably are thinking, like, what did my last grocery trip cost? And you can debate the economics of it forever. But most people are probably thinking about that. And I know there are Democrats who are going to say, but the economy is good. And by a lot of metrics, they're not particularly wrong. But for most people, especially people in rural areas who very often are not 100% thriving, many live paycheck to paycheck, many are just scraping by. For them, when they're going into the voter booth, I mean, for people like my dad, I think of, like, he's thinking about, you know, 4 years ago, was I doing better in terms of my income? And I don't know if Democrats had a strong enough argument on the economy to close Trump's advantage there just in the presidential race. And of course, that filters down into other races. And again, Republicans ran on lower taxes, returning some of that state budget surplus to voters.
Yeah.
I know Democrats will have their qualms about that tax plan as well, but rural voters have showed a penchant for proposals for lower taxes. I mean, that's how Scott Walker took hold there in the first place. And so I think you saw them hold that trend in 2024.
Two things, Tyler, come to my mind from my years in politics, of which you're much too young to remember. But back in 1992, the great strategist for Bill Clinton, James Carville, who was on this program last week, he came up with the line, "It's the economy, stupid." And that's how Clinton, in large part, beat George H.W. Bush in 1992. And the other thing that my longtime boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, taught me as a kid, which I think I forgot this campaign season, was, hey, guess what? Perception is reality. Doesn't matter whether the economy is really actually doing better than most people think. It's the perception that it wasn't doing well enough for them and their pocketbooks. And I think I missed that, if I'm being honest. I think I missed going back when I went to Richland Center and to Shawano and to Monroe and saw all the Hovde and all the Trump signs. And I kind of fell into a narrative of, well, you know, the Democrats just don't have their sign up. It's better than what you're thinking. If I look back and I'm being honest with myself, I could feel it. And I was somebody in 2016 that said, you know, Hillary Clinton could lose this. And a lot of people said I was crazy. I miss that feeling this time around, and I think this article, and reading it again, you just do such a great job of making me realize that all of us have to be more in tune with each other.
Yeah, well, thank you. And then if I can add one last thing,
please.
I do want to say I think the results in Wisconsin, it's very easy, especially if you're a Democrat and you're waking up this morning, to feel incredibly defeated. If you're a Republican, you're probably feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. But Trump ended up winning by about a percentage point. That's close. It's within the margin of errors, or within the margin of error of some of the last polls we saw. Tammy Baldwin pulled out a narrow win. Looks like, I don't know if it's been officially called yet, but
not officially,
she looks very
I
much
saw,
on track.
But yeah, it may be going to recall, but yes, you're correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The assembly is probably going to end up about 54 Republican, 45 Democratic, which is maybe a little less than Democrats had hoped for. And maybe not as much as Republicans would have liked. But like, that's not 100% surprising. Mm-hmm. And Democrats picked up 3 seats in the Senate. Like, that's not particularly surprising, and maybe even a little bit some decent news for them. And so overall, like, this election in Wisconsin was close.
Yep.
And we know Wisconsin has close elections. It wasn't, when you look at it, it's not that shocking.
Tyler Katzenberger is called How Democrats Found a Way to Win. Have Democrats Found a Way to Win Over Rural America? We'll look what's happening in Wisconsin at Politico.com. Tyler, thank you for being so generous with your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Our pleasure. One correction, Todd, for yourself. It's not a recall. It's a recount in the Baldwin election. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Civic Media's continuing coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Todd Allbaugh here on a Wednesday in our Civic Media election headquarters atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. It is now coming up on 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, and I can tell you we have a Civic Media projection. It has taken a while, but the Associated Press has now called it, and we can officially tell you that Tammy Baldwin has won the race for another term in the United States Congress, and it's happened about 5 minutes ago. Tammy Baldwin will be returning to the U.S. Senate for another 6-year term. The Democratic incumbent defeated Republican challenger Eric Hovde today. The Associated Press called the race for Baldwin at 12:42 this afternoon, so literally 10 minutes ago. 99% of the expected vote has been counted. If in elected office for more than 3 decades, Baldwin, 62, served in the state assembly before then being elected to the House of Representatives and the Senate since 2012. She won her first term, as we said, in 2012 after defeating former Republican Governor Tommy George Thompson. The final tallies, at least with 99% of the precincts reporting, Baldwin with 49.4% of the vote and Hovde with 48.5%. Again, the Associated Press 10 minutes ago has called the projected race for the United States Senate for Tammy Baldwin. We go back to the phone lines now, 855-752-4842. Mark from Perdisac has been holding on for quite a while. Mark, I appreciate your patience. What say you?
Yeah, I guess one thing that made previous before the break, Joe calling in and saying how radical left the Democratic Party has gone and Joe Biden, and don't know quite what he's talking about there. I guess that it took the Republicans making a big issue of, for example, for trans people, it took the Republicans making a great big issue out of it this time around, where I don't think the number of people that are trans actually has increased or decreased in the past 4 years. That number is probably relatively steady. I guess more it's just that we accept those people exist.
Right. I think if I can interrupt for a second, the fact base, as far as I know, according to the WIAA, who oversees high school athletics, to my knowledge, there are six or fewer high school athletes who consider them transgender folks. So six out of the tens of thousands of high school athletes. And also, you know, Mark, as well as I do, that it's simply not factual. No one is going to school, sending their kid to school, a one gender, being given a pill and coming home as another gender. That's simply a fact. That's just a lie, right? And so, but that message was used effectively against a number of Democratic candidates in Wisconsin.
And I can't, and in Wisconsin and across the nation, I can't figure out how people can be so gullible to accept that, and how people can be so compartmentalized. Like, for the price of eggs, for example, you know, that's something they bring up. At my grocery store, the little Piggly Wiggly here in Sauk City, they have right on the egg counter there that why the price of eggs has gone up is because farmers have had to slaughter their flocks because of bird flu. Now, my question is, what's going to happen now with the new administration coming in, with their insistence on deregulating all this stuff? How many people are going to get sick and die because the food's contaminated?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people that voted for Donald Trump, happily voted for Donald Trump, are going to get contaminated food, whether it's listeria or any of the other various things that can contaminate our food supply, that currently we have an FDA regulating that it's not going to be there anymore? Because I can remember reading in back in high school, you know, but the book The Jungle,
right,
that how many people died back then because the food was contaminated or adulterated when they're adding plaster or whatever to the milk. I mean,
Mark, I always appreciate the call. Thank you so very much. I got to get to a couple other people here. Before, some breaking news also now from CBS News. I can report that Vice President Kamala Harris, according to CBS and multiple other sources, has indeed now called President-elect Donald Trump to concede the election and congratulate him on winning the election overnight. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Stoughton and CJ in Stoughton. CJ, what say you?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Todd. I think this election was a lot louder than you want to admit, especially being a Republican or a former Republican. These social issues, the border, the economy, were a driving force. And, you know, the denial of this administration on what they caused, what people are feeling, including the Black community, watched record voting by Black males.
Yeah.
Because they've been watching what cities have done to their own cities with sanctuary cities and the illegals. Almost $1 trillion spent on illegal immigration since the border czar Kamala Harris took over.
I mean, I want to make sure you got into. I wanted to make sure you got your word. I think you deserve that. I don't want to get into a disagreement or argument over that last point on border security. I think you bring up a good point, though, CJ, and that is with last I saw, I'll have to check my facts, 20% of the Black vote in Milwaukee went for Donald Trump. That is a huge number. And that is something, again, that I think in the postmortem, people have to look and ask why. Why is that? So I think that is a salient point, TJ, or CJ. Appreciate your call. 855-752-4842. Let's call quickly to Karina. Karina,
we have like 30 seconds, so.
All right. What we got here? Sorry, Karina. So we're up against the clock. If you want to hang on the line, Karina, also Cam and Appleton, we'll get to your calls on the other side in hour number two. Also in hour number two, and I think we could all use a little bit of this today, anxiety. How we could just kind of, we mentioned a couple of these things yesterday. we could all feel it, no matter if we won or lost, or we feel our candidates won or lost. How do you deal with our anxiety on this day after the election? Hour number two of the Todd Allball Show for Wednesday is straight ahead. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.